Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to the end. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell within me, that is, in my sinful nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So when I find this law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law.
So even in the NIV, that's still a bit of a tongue twister, that passage that Paul writes about the trials and the temptations and the battles that he faces against self and sin. I'll read it again towards the end of this devotion in the Message translation. But going through the Lord's Prayer, we've come to the line where it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Some of the other translations, for instance, the J.P. Phillips and the Message says, "Keep us clear of temptation and save us from evil." The Message says, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. So the question is, why should Jesus instruct us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," when we know God cannot tempt us? James 1:13 tells us that God does not tempt us into sin. If God did tempt us into sin, he would be acting contrary to his holy nature and against his desire for us to be holy as he is holy. So the inclusion of a request for God is not to lead us into temptation, is to teach us how to avoid temptation, which should be one of our primary concerns. Temptation will come our way. We don't need to go looking for temptation. And quite often the word temptation is almost now universally seen in a negative sense, meaning someone to solicit, someone to do evil. And that makes it difficult for us to understand, particularly, as I've said, in the light of James 1:13, where it says God doesn't tempt anyone. So it's that recognition that temptation is around us and that God will help us find a path through that temptation, and that we don't go looking for temptation ourselves. The enemy, Satan, day in, day out, will tempt us. And this is something that we don't talk about too much in church circles, because every single one of us are tempted on a daily basis. Now, we might all be tempted in different ways, but we're all tempted to sin. The battle between humility and pride is a constant one. James has a lot to say about the importance of controlling our tongue. And quite often, more so in our family context, because when we're in church, we're usually on our best behavior. Usually, but when we're at home, we can be ourselves. And if we have relatives at home as well, and one of the people at home, husband, wife, parent, child, whatever relative, if they upset us, or if they do or say something we don't like, then in the four walls of our home, we feel we're at liberty to respond however we want to respond. And that might be loving. Now, you've all noticed how lovingly I treat and speak about Sean. Is that right, Derek? So, you know, but in our own home, we can think and say and do, we feel, as we please. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes there is a gap of how we speak when we're at home and how we speak when we're in church. So we kind of labored that a little, just to make the point that each of us face temptations. And I wonder sometimes whether we almost get a little nervous or dare say frightened about the thoughts that go through our heads at times, and how unpleasant some of those thoughts can be. So each and every one of us will be tempted. So what do we do with those temptations? And some of us kind of try to battle through on our own. But I'm convinced that God would have his church and his family help one another through the temptations. But obviously you can't help someone through a temptation unless you know they're going through a temptation, and they will not tell you or us their temptation unless they can trust us. Because sometimes what's happened, sadly, in the past is somebody has told somebody in confidence, and then before you know it, several people know. And that breaks down trust, and that sometimes has that effect of people then not finding the help in times of trial, in times of temptation, that they should be. I can remember many, many years ago when I first started as a pastor within the Ealing Church, going to a meeting where there was just church leaders, and they were kind of an open time of sharing how things were. And I was sharing about a particular problem. And what I wanted was people to pray. That's why I shared that. I said, would you just pray into this? And what I got was 20 solutions. I wasn't after a solution at that time. I was just after prayer. But sometimes in church life, we feel we've always got to be giving solutions to people or giving an answer. And quite often, people just need that prayer support. They just need to come alongside us and be there. But we need to be able to share with one another how we're being tempted. Now, don't reply back. You're all muted anyway. But I wonder how far away, as a church, within our relationships, how far away are we from saying to somebody else, the right person, has to be the right person, do you know what, I'm being tempted in this area, please will you pray for me, or please will you help me, or please, you know, the next time I'm tempted in this area, can I phone you, can I talk to you, because you would help divert my attention from the wrong that I might be about to do. And it's creating that relationship. And then there's another side to this, actually. As people come to faith, and they're on their journey, it would be helpful for those who've been on the journey a long time to identify with the temptations that they will go through. Sometimes we can appear to new Christians as if we've got all the answers, and we're so incredibly holy that we can one step from heaven. So when they are tempted, they feel incredibly bad about the temptation and actually think, well, those people are too holy. They would never be tempted in that way. But to be able to get alongside people and to be able to get alongside younger Christians and help them through the trials and then temptations that we go through. So lead us not into temptation. It's not that God would lead us into temptation, but it's that help and that support that we all need when we go through temptation. And then there will be times when we need to pray, deliver us from evil, because sometimes the devil will have a direct attack on us. You know, you've heard me tell the story before, the little boy outside at the church, sitting on the wall crying, and a person says, little boy, why are you crying? Oh, sorry, I got that story the wrong way around. I'm thinking ahead of myself. It's the devil sitting on the wall, and the little boy walks past and says to the devil, why are you crying? And the devil says, it's all those people in the church. Are they blaming me for everything? You know, and sometimes the devil does kind of come against our path. Quite a lot, our temptation is just from the flesh, from the fallen flesh. But there are times when the enemy makes a concerted attack on us, and we need, again, that support from one another, and we need to pray to God, deliver me from this great trial from the enemy. There's that verse where Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And so Simon, once he had failed at that denial, he knew that Jesus had been praying for him and that he came out of that situation. Even though he had failed, he was brought out of an evil situation because he was restored back to God. And we know that when we do fail, when we do give in to temptation, and when we let God down, there is that restoring and right relationship back to God. But let me close this morning again to highlight the tensity of the battle when Paul spoke to the Romans. But I need something more, he says, for I know the law, but I still can't keep it. As if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions. I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in action. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me covertly rebels, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of the contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind. I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. That's the Message translation of Romans 7, 15 to 25. The answer, thank God, is Jesus Christ can and does. He delivers us from evil. He helps us overcome temptation.